All right, welcome to the Bob Prescott Coaches Show. I am your host, Gary Snyder. He is the one you want to hear from. Coach Bob Prescott, head coach of the Huntington North Viking football team. Welcome to your own show.
Well, thank you. I'm excited. Had a huge win Friday night and just so happy for our kids. They've worked so hard since I came on campus around February 1st. And it's just exciting to see them get a chance to play like that and get a big win.
You know, you had a better Friday night than the Boilers did.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even realize until late Saturday evening that the Boilers was on Friday night. So they, I heard they played well early and then let it get away from them.
You know, it kind of gets old with the Boilers. They do this. They did it a lot last year, and boy, not a good way to start your season.
No, it's not. But you know, they'll get it figured out. They got good coaches there, good players, good facilities. They'll get that worked out. You know, I'm just so excited. I get so dialed in on our kids. I don't realize what's going on around us.
And that's understandable. Well, let's talk about your kids. Boy, you came out strong. An overmatched Jay County team. Talk a little bit about the win, and we'll talk. And then we'll go to each side of the ball and discuss the player of the game.
Well, we talked about you know, on the bus ride home after Warsaw, it was pretty tough. I think everybody was kind of down. I challenged our kids in the locker room before we got on the bus to go home that, you know, either we've got to change some things or we're going to expect a lot of the same, that somewhere in the second half we let up and lose focus and teams get away from us. And thought we had a great Saturday morning with film and talking and our stretching. And then I just thought we had a great week of practice. And so our kids accepted the challenge and brought it. Our, you know, we're trying to get better every day as a person, as a player. And I thought our kids done that this week. And then I thought we had an opportunity that our speed was better than theirs. They had some size, but I thought our kids came out ready to play. And within two offensive plays, we score a touchdown, and our defense was great all night. And before you notice, 28-0 after the first quarter. And then we even slowed down our play calling, fast tempo concept in the second quarter. So it was 42-0 at the half. And it was really exciting in our locker room at halftime. Our kids were all pumped up, and we spent time talking to them about, you know, you have not been in this situation before. We need to make sure our goal is still intact to play an entire 48 minutes. Don't lose your mental focus and let this get into sloppy. And I thought our kids done a tremendous job in the second half of staying after it and doing the things we want them to do. And ended up with a 56-0 ball game and got everybody got playing time, and it was good to see everybody out on the field.
Do those type of games, do you need a couple of those during the season so you can get some of those younger players in, get them some experience at a varsity level that maybe they wouldn't necessarily get if it were a close game?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're working just as hard. And you know, our freshmen that are dressing, it was their choice whether they wanted to be with us on Friday night or just do something else on Friday night, which we totally get and understand with if they chose not to. But anybody that's dressed on Friday night, it's nice to be able to get them in the game. And it's much more fun when we're ahead than putting them in if you're way behind. It's just a whole different feeling. And so, yeah, you know, we told our older kids as well, you know, the other kids that are dressed have earned the right to get in on the game too. So don't get selfish and think you got to stay in the game and keep working those stats. We need everybody motivated so that we have a great week of practice.
All right, let's take a look at the offensive side of the ball. You know, you had mentioned two plays and you're up 7-0. I mean, it was 7-0 before I even got there. talk about the offense and who was the, you know, who stood out in your mind? I would imagine a lot of them in a win that big, but who stood out in your mind on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, it always starts with what's going on up front, and they're, you know, are young and inexperienced with their offensive line. And I just thought they'd done an outstanding job. We had a feeling we knew what defense they would be in. They made a couple few changes to what their scheme, and it was more personnel. It was the scheme we thought we would see, but they put bigger guys in, and they did have the size advantage on us. And so as soon as we seen that, we took the ball to the edge with some sweet plays in both directions, and they just could not handle our speed. And then we got the ball going off tackle and on both sides. And so it was everybody. I think we had six guys score in the first half. The multiple touchdown guy, Devin Newcomb, had three, and then several guys had a touchdown. So that's awesome when we have eight. So there's five other guys that scored touchdowns, and that's nice to get everybody involved and get them on the stat book as a touchdown. But for us, definitely it was up front. So our tight ends were Cameron Faust, a senior, and Mitchell Gerber, a junior. And then our tackles was junior Justin Kinsey and sophomore Jarrett Shenefield. And then our guards was junior Dane Pethley and senior Cade McAleese. And then our center was sophomore Cam Richardson. So those guys done a great job for everybody else. And I believe we had like 330 yards rushing, and done that on about 43 plays, I believe. So our average per carry was pretty good Friday night.
You know, I took a picture, and it's up on our website, or not our website, but our Facebook page. And it was Newcomb going off right end, and out front was number 31. I call him a fullback. You probably have a different name for him.
Yep, no, he's fullback. That's Cam McCarver.
And there were three other offensive linemen pulling out in front of him. Just an awesome picture, and kind of told the story of how your night was going to go, because there he is running behind the offensive line and the fullback and just clearing a hole for him.
Yeah. And it's nice when we can get that going. And, you know, we've emphasized from day one, we want our offense. It's about attitude, and we're going to try to take it to our opponent and keep coming at him and keep coming at him. And our guys done that, and we said at some point in time, when you bring that attitude, your opponent will not want any piece of you. They're going to want to get off the field and want the game to be over. And I think we wore their defense out pretty good, and they had some guys that needed to come out of the ball game. I think that's a testament to the way our kids were playing on Friday night.
Well, let's go to the other side of the ball, because, you know, as well as your offense played, putting up 56 points, your defense shut them out. Jay County, 0 points. I'm going to guess if they had 100 yards total offense, that would probably have been a lot.
They had 36 offensive plays, and we held them to 26 yards. So our defense was outstanding. I thought they got better with reading the keys that we put on our kids. And and someone shared with me that they never crossed midfield. And so if that, you know, with statistics like that, you know, you've had a great night on the defensive side of the ball, and all 11 flying to the ball. We had another interception again last night with Jackson Holzinger. But a lot of guys getting to the ball and punishing the ball carriers. And to be honest, that's what we want. We don't want one guy just tackling. We want to see five or six black shirts around there and trying to put all that body weight, those five or six body weights on the ball carriers. We're putting them into the ground. And so I thought our kids did a really nice job of that.
You know, when you talk defense, you talk about turnovers. You mentioned the interception, but you know the key, I think, to any game, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you've been at this a little bit longer than me, is limit your turnovers and get turnovers. And it looks like you did that very well Friday night against Jay County.
Yeah, no question. We had had three turnovers that we got from them, with the interception and then two fumble recoveries. The recoveries were by Nick Jacobs and Nate Jacobs. And then they also had a punt situation that didn't go well for them. So you could really almost call that a fourth turnover, and we didn't turn the ball over at all. So when you're a plus four, things are really in your favor. And you know, all we have to do is go back 1 week earlier to Warsaw, and that was flipped, and it made a huge difference in the Warsaw game when we had those four turnovers. So there's no question. The turnover battle is huge each and every week.
All right, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Bob Prescott Coaches Show. I'm Gary Snyder, your host. He's the man you want to hear from, Coach Bob Prescott, head coach of the Huntington North Vikings. All right, this is the first week we get to do this. You chose a player of the game. I found it to be an interesting pick, simply because in a 56-0 win, you can look at the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball. But you went with special teams this week for your player of the game.
Well, Aiden has done a great job for us. You know, when you have as many touchdowns as we had, it's nice when you've got a guy that's going to put it in the end zone every time or put it down on the 1 or 2 yard line and get a return. And so I'm not for sure. There was a couple times that the ball just fell short of the end zone. So when they returned it, there might have been one time they got it out to the 25. And statistically speaking, when you've got to go 80 yards every time for a drive, your chances of scoring a touchdown decrease dramatically. And so it's when he's doing that for us, it's a huge weapon that helps our defense out, just gets us going. He had a fantastic punt the one time that we punted in the third quarter that landed on the 2 yard line. That kept them backed up, and he's worked so hard. He's a senior. It's just fitting that he gets a chance to be recognized.
Well, let me ask you this, because I've had a few questions about this week from people that were at the game, and I think it's a new rule change this year in high school football. But in the second half, basically the clock did not stop running. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yep, the IHSAA came out with a new term or a new rule called the Mercy Rule. From the time of halftime moving forward into the third and fourth quarter, if the point differential is 35, it goes to a running clock. And the only time that the clock then stops, it would be after a score, a timeout, or an injury situation. But besides that, the clock runs continually. And so once it starts, if it would have came back under 35 point differential, it does not stop. It stays running. Once that mercy rule running clock gets enacted, it stays that way for the entire game. And that is something new for our state. There are, I think I had done some research with my, efforts with the Indiana Football Coaches Association and my job with them, that there was 40 schools or 40 states that have some kind of running clock when the score gets to a certain point. So it's not something that's unique or new across the country. It's just new for our state.
Do you like the rule?
There's some good benefit to it, and I'll be honest. I think it was put in because there were some scores over the past few years that were just getting crazy out of hand. I've always been a guy, I've been on both ends of those scores. And I've always, when we've been on top, tried to make sure that we do everything we can to not let the score go crazy. But when you're getting 70s and 80s to nothing, that's not a good thing for the sport, in my opinion. So I understand where the state's coming from with that. The thing that makes it a little bit tough is, now once that clock's running, your younger guys that have earned the right maybe don't get quite as many plays to get it done. But we'll adjust and make that happen, and hopefully that we make sure from now on that if there's ever a running clock, that we're on the good side of the score.
All right, if you're just joining us again, this is the Bob Prescott Coaches Show. I'm your host, Gary Snyder. my guest, I shouldn't be say the guest, it's his show, Coach Bob Prescott, Huntington North Vikings head coach. All right, and you told me this earlier, and a professional host would probably have remembered or know where you're going on Friday night. You travel to East Noble, is that right?
That is correct, East Noble. So we start our conference schedule this week, and right off the bat, we play the school that's been, I guess you would call them, the perennial favorite most years. They've won probably the most conference championships since I think Huntington's been involved. They do an outstanding job. They've been to the state finals before. They're a very, very good football team this year. They played, they're 2-0. They played two quality opponents in Plymouth and Mishawaka. Plymouth is a 4A, Mishawaka is a 5A. Both games kind of have nip and tuck down to the end. Week one against Plymouth, they scored at least, I think they scored two touchdowns in the fourth quarter to come behind and win, and had a goal line stand to beat Plymouth. And then Mishawaka, they got out early on a two-score advantage on Mishawaka. Mishawaka came back and got the lead, and then they came back in the middle of the fourth quarter, took the lead for good. But they're very good. They do a lot formationally on offense. Got big, tall receivers that they like to throw to. Their quarterback is a dynamic passer as well as loves to run the ball. Got a big, strong H-back. Their linemen are huge, do a great job. And then defensively, they're going to be in an even front or kind of a 4-4 concept. And so, you know, we've got to come out and execute really well. I'm looking forward to the challenge. I think our young men will too. We start Labor Day's on Monday, and we're going to go ahead and practice a little later from 6 to 8 Monday evening and start putting the game plan together with the kids and get them going with it. But it gives us a great chance to test to see where we're at in the growth of our program.
If I'm a Viking fan setting up in the stands on Friday night, who should I be watching on the offensive side of the ball for East Noble?
I would say their quarterback, because he does so much for them in their run game and then does a really good job. They love to throw fades. They'll roll him out and kind of do a smash concept with their two receivers to that side. But I think he's definitely the guy that makes them go. And so we're going to try to contain him as much as possible. He's a tall, rangy kid that just as he runs, he's just smooth and slash, and he likes to get the field spread out and get in there. So we're going to try to push him, you know, fill all the gaps and spill everything to the sidelines and limit his big runs when he gets scrambling through gaps. So, you know, there's definitely things that they present that'll be issues, but I love the way our defense is coming together and we're growing and getting better. So there's some good challenges there for us and looking forward to this opportunity.
What about on the defensive side of the ball? You mentioned a 4-4,
who are you
paying attention to when you're on offense?
You know, they'll blitz their linebackers some, so we need to make sure our scheme takes care of that. They're solid. They do have some two-way players, and so we've got to make sure that we can find a way to hopefully wear them down a little bit. And in order for us to do that, our offense has to be able to have positive plays, positive yards, and get first downs and try to wear those guys down. You know, the size advantage and maybe even the speed advantage goes to them, but we're going to go in there and play with a lot of heart and see how we match up.
All right. Anything else that you wanted to cover about this coming Friday's game against East Noble? Because part of the show is we pick football games, and we got a big one, depending on when you're listening to this, Monday night, Notre Dame Louisville, which I'll be there, just saying. But let's talk anything else you wanted to cover about the game on Friday.
No, you know, I was just so grateful for our student body and the crowd that we had Friday night in our home opener. And just hopefully that our students and our community and parents and fans just love what they've seen on the field, and we'll continue to support our young men. And they work so hard, and I'm just grateful and blessed to be around them, and want to see them have every opportunity to play in front of large crowds.
Well, it was a nice crowd on Friday night. I've been going to these Huntington North games off and on for about 10 years, and probably one of the bigger, more ruckus crowds that I've seen.
And so hopefully we can build momentum off that, and the crowds will continue to get bigger. And when we do that, I think it's just a neater environment for all involved, fans as well as players.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit. We got a big game. We'll pick a few games here. One on Monday night, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish opened their season. They traveled to Louisville, a team that won only two games last year. How do you see this one going? Because I'm taking, if I were a betting man, which you can now in Indiana, I would take Notre Dame and give the 18 on this one. But then again, I'm probably a homer too.
Yeah, you're probably a homer. That's probably correct. But I would say, yes, I think Notre Dame, you know, Louisville's going through a transition of a new coach and implementing his style. He came from Appalachian State, who had a great program, but typically that takes a little while to get all those pieces in place. And Notre Dame had a great year last year, so there should be some confidence there with them and everything that they're doing. But I would definitely say Notre Dame's got the upper hand tonight.
And I'm going to do one more game here. I'm just going to throw this one at you. Vanderbilt travels to Ross-Ade Stadium on Saturday to take on the Boilers, coming off that horrible loss Friday night. How do you see that one playing out in the Boilers' home opener?
I think it'll be a fantastic ball game. Vandy played Georgia pretty tough. The score was 30-6. For those people that understand Indiana football, their quarterback now is a grad transfer, Riley Neal, who is a Yorktown High School product and played 4 years at Ball State, does a nice job. But I got to believe in the end, Purdue will find a way to win in their home opener late. It'll be a close game. Vandy's defense is pretty good, but Purdue will find a way to win this one.
Boy, and Rondell Moore, he is everything that they had promised he would be this year. At least he was Friday night.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. So they've got some other weapons to go with him, and they'll regroup and they'll get it done. I think they're going to have a good year this year. So it'll be a great game. And I just think being a home opener for them, and they'll be probably a little bit chip on their shoulder after what happened this past week to them. And I think they'll win in a close one.
Well, it could be worse. They could have lost to Georgia State, like Tennessee did.
Yeah, that was at Tennessee. You know, that was a home opener, so that was not good for them.
You know, and I saw that even Smokey, their mascot, entered the transfer portal this week. All right, Coach.
I had not heard that.
Thanks a lot. We'll talk soon, and good luck on Friday night against East Noble.
Well, thank you so much. It is a great day to be a Viking.
It is. Thank you for listening to the Bob Prescott Show on Indiana Talk Sports on SB Nation Radio.